Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, July 18th, 2016. With me today, back from pretty much the other side of the world, Dave Hamilton. How are you?
I'm a little jet-lagged, but actually doing pretty well. Thanks for having me.
And I'm glad you're here, and I can't complain about jet lag, although I kind of want to just a little bit.
Brian, you have conference lag.
Okay, I have conference lag, much like Brian Chaffin. And Brian, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay, and I'm glad that you're up and awake and surviving. So Dave, you were on vacation, which was great. Brian and I were at MacStock Expo, which was also really great. And so I'm glad we all had a great time. Also, I'm glad that Eternal Storms and their ScreenFloat app for the Mac is our sponsor today. So that's just awesome. Hey, we should start off with some interesting news that cropped up this morning. SoftBank, the company out of Japan that has its hands in all different types of technology, they are going to buy Arm Holdings, which is the UK company that Apple helped spin out from Acorn Computers in 1990. And then Arm is the company that helped design the processor for the Newton Message Pad. And they're also involved with Apple's current mobile processors, the A series that we see in the iPhone and the iPad. Well, they're going to be part of SoftBank, and I think this is kind of an interesting purchase. And I'm curious, what do you guys think?
It's a large company buying up a large company.
Mm-hmm.
So little corporate shell game, sort of, to a certain extent. To a large extent, I don't really know if this is going to change much of anything except for who's actually making money from ARM.
Well, SoftBank, they want to make ARM a bigger company. They also have their eyes, or their goals, their sights. There we go. Their sights set on being the company that makes the processors for Internet of Things devices. So, yeah, this could just be a matter of which company is putting the check in the bank, but it could be something bigger if SoftBank can really grow ARM the way that they are hoping to.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's not going to have much of an effect on Apple. Apple designed its own chips, licensing the ARM architecture. Whether or not ARM gets bigger, I suppose Apple could end up benefiting if ARM is able to make additional advances based on an expanded expanded resources, expanded applications. That is possible. I mean, much of the magic of Apple's AX processors,
mm-hmm,
comes from Apple's designs, but it is all based on the ARM architecture as such. So, it depends. I guess Nightshade has something to say about this.
I think Nightshade is really concerned about the SoftBank purchase.
Yeah,
she's thinking maybe it's time to go on a buying spree because the British pound is so much cheaper than it used to be.
There's a subtle difference in the way a cat meows when they're concerned about a purchase or when they want to go on a buying spree. I'm glad you're fluent enough to have picked that up, Dave.
Well, yeah. And I think that accounts for the timing of this. I wonder if SoftBank has been looking at this for a while, or if this is something where they said, "Whoa, wait a minute, is there some UK company that we want? Should we go get them now?"
Sure. Well, with the Brexit referendum and the way the pound sterling has devalued, there, I think, are some prime buying opportunities for foreign companies.
It was a good time to be on vacation there. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you're able to take care of your entire family for days on end with like $25.
You know, not in London, no. Not even close, in fact, but less than it. It's less overly expensive than it used to be, is I think the best way to say that.
So. All right, well, you know, you take it as you can get it.
That's right, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to toss this out here without anything to really support it. What if Apple now says, hey, we don't like the idea of SoftBank buying ARM. We want to jump in and offer our own bid for the company.
It's always a possibility. Apple has a little bit of money lying around.
And I think they've got quite a bit lying around over there, too.
Yeah, specifically over there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So, you know, over there, specifically being in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this matters for Apple.
I'm trying to figure out where it does, and I think I'm with you, Brian. In fact, I was going to ask you, does this even matter for Apple? And I think we have explored sort of little nuanced things that maybe kind of sort of ish, but I don't. I feel like Apple is pretty. They're kind of they do their own thing.
Yeah, that's true. They do their own thing, and they occasionally buy companies that do things so that they can do their own things better.
Right. Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah, yeah. They don't develop everything on their own by any stretch, but they do like to be. They do not like to be beholden or tied to anyone in a way that could cause Apple to have to slow things down, you know, if someone else makes a decision they don't like. But I don't think their relationship with ARM right now is such that would even be the case, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we've got that taken care of.
I don't see Apple making a counter bid here.
All right. So if ARM is hoping to have someone else step in let me rephrase that. Do you see any other companies that might want to step in and try and outbid SoftBank?
Sure. Yeah. There are probably some Apple competitors that would. Let me actually turn that back to whether or not Apple would. A lot of ARM's value is certainly coming from Apple, but a lot of what SoftBank is looking at is extending ARM to new applications.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Apple doesn't have any interest in that.
Right.
So, right. I mean, Apple's almost antithetical to that notion. So, I don't think Apple would want to buy
them. Yeah. In fact, I think it's better for ARM that Apple does not buy them.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably the case.
Yeah.
Well, then in that case, hopefully Apple won't decide to do that. But, and, I was tossing that out there more as a hypothetical. I don't think Apple really wants to do such a thing. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we have a sponsor today. And that sponsor is Eternal Storm's software and their ScreenFloat application for the Mac. And ScreenFloat is an interesting little app that lets you take screenshots. But once it's actually captured that screenshot for you, it kind of floats it on your screen. So it's available, so you can drop it into other applications or put it where you want it to go and take out some of the steps that go along with taking a screenshot, going and finding it, and then adding it, say, to an email or something. You can just leave it on your screen and then drop it where you want it to go. And it's also kind of cool because if you need to take a screenshot to reference something, you don't have to take that shot, go and find it, and then open it, say, like in Preview or something, and keep an extra app and window open just to reference something you need to see for a little while. So, you know, that's kind of cool.
And I can see this being handy on a laptop, Jeff, where you've got less screen real estate, you know, and you want to look at something in Safari and type about it in an email to someone. Well, if you can't have them both on the screen at the same time, float the snippet, and there you go.
I love that idea. I think that's a fantastic idea. And it's kind of funny you would say that. I'm so used to using this 34-inch display that I have that I forget that sometimes people don't have as much screen space as I do.
You got it.
Wow. Yeah.
How is that for a humble brag, Brian?
That's a nice humble brag. Right in the middle of the sponsor spot. That's perfect.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, okay, so what you guys need to do, because this actually is a cool and useful utility, you need to go check it out. So head over to the Eternal Storms website, and that's eternalstorms.at/screenfloat. And the app costs $8.99, which sounds like a pretty good deal to me for something that is as useful as this. So go check it out. ScreenFloat, eternalstorms.at/screenfloat, and pick up your copy. It's only $8.99. Thank you, ScreenFloat, for being our sponsor today. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to take a look at today, John on Friday was talking about how Apple TV has kind of failed us as a cord cutter's solution. And I'm a cord cutter, and I agree with him to a degree. And I want to know, do you guys think John is right? Do you think that the Apple TV as a cord cutter's solution is there, or does it still have some room to grow?
I think the problem is the industry. It is not currently possible for a single device to serve as the replacement for television for everyone. Right? I mean, it may for any one person, the Apple TV might be enough if everything that you want is on the Apple TV, or you're willing to sacrifice those things that are not. But I think John's point is that the Apple TV won't do everything that you previously got from, say, Comcast.
And I definitely agree with that. Now, for me, being able to cut the cord and use primarily an Apple TV is working. But notice I said primarily. And I don't need to have sports channels because I'm not a fan of spectator sports. So that eliminated a huge drawback for me right there. Yeah. But I still have a Fire Stick attached to my TV as well because I can't do Amazon Prime content on my Apple TV.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you have a Chromecast as well?
I don't.
Man, I don't have one, but I have used them at either Airbnbs that I've stayed in or, you know, friends' houses where I've stayed. It is so much easier than using an Apple TV to send content to it. And I say that as an iOS user. You know, you'd think that being an iOS user, all you got to do is, you know, AirPlay to the app, and anything can AirPlay to the TV. But for some reason, there's always like a little bit of jerry rigging that you've got to go through to make the Apple TV always work when you're casting something from an iOS device. If the app's on the TV, totally fine. But in terms of taking something that you have like with you on your device and showing it on a big screen, I've actually found the Chromecast easier.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. So a couple things. First of all, it would be bizarre to me for people to have the goal of replacing everything that they get with their cable subscription through other devices, because if you're going to do that, why not just keep the cable subscription? It seems like the biggest motivator for most cord cutters is that they actually don't want all of the stuff that comes with the cable subscription. They want a subset of that stuff.
And that's why I finally dumped my cable subscription.
I think there are some that want to do it for what I'll call political reasons. They don't want to pay Comcast or Time Warner or et cetera. And that's probably a smaller percentage, but those people definitely exist.
Yeah, that's true. But that's a bit of a
a losing battle today.
Well, I mean, yeah, and also you get what you pay for.
Right.
If you want the stuff, you're going to have to pay for it at some point.
So you've cut your cord, Jeff. Are you how much? Two questions. How much money are you saving? And is there anything, and I mean anything, that you say, dang it, I cannot get that through legal means anyway, now that I don't have Comcast TV service?
Yes, I'm saving a substantial amount of money because instead of spending I think it was about $115 a month is what cable was costing me.
Without internet. Right. Just the cable portion.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So I'm saving a substantial amount of money because of that. And what I found I could do that was substantially cheaper for me, the couple shows that I really, really wanted to see, one of them being Doctor Who, I can simply buy a season pass. And it's cheaper to buy a season pass, even if I watch an episode only once, than to have had a cable subscription. But I'll often go back and watch episodes again. And so right now, the three things that I make sure that I have paid up and ready to go would be Doctor Who, the BBC Sherlock series, and then Star Wars Rebels. And everything else, I'm fine waiting until episodes are available on Amazon Prime or Netflix streaming. And occasionally, I actually break out a DVD and watch something that way. Now, the stuff that I miss, or missed in retrospect now, was Mythbusters.
Okay.
That just wasn't an option. And then I think I probably would have enjoyed watching Game of Thrones, but I don't have an HBO subscription. So,
but you could for $15 a month.
But I could for $15 a month. But I don't want to watch Game of Thrones enough. I don't want to watch Game of Thrones $15.
But Silicon Valley.
Yeah, which I haven't seen. So it's a show that I'm certain I would really enjoy.
You would. But even still, I mean, even if you add up what you're spending for your season passes for the three shows that you're paying for, and then Netflix, that you're probably paying $10 a month for that. Mm-hmm. Amazon Prime, you know, essentially $10, maybe 11 maybe 9, right? Depending on how you pay for your Amazon Prime. You're still saving. I mean, it's less than half of what your cable bill was previously.
Right.
Even if you added HBO to that, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm okay. That's fine.
But you would have paid $15 for HBO on top of the whatever you were paying your cable company too, unless it was like included in your package.
Yeah, well, you know, initially it was, and then not, and so then the bill goes up, and
of course,
yeah, just like everything, it's all included until it's not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
One more note on the theoretical topic: we're still in early days of Apple TV, or mid days. We're still in mid days.
Yeah.
With things like Apple TV and Chromecast and Fire Stick or whatever the heck Amazon's calling it. I mean, there's a lot of feeling around by the tech companies here, and there's still a lot of resistance from the content providers, as well as, of course, active resistance from the cable powers. So, I mean, whether or not Apple TV is here yet, it's still we still got a lot. There's still going to be a lot of change in this particular area to come.
I agree, and I think that John's premise that Apple TV has not met that goal of being the panacea of cable cutters, that should be expanded out to include all of the devices that fall in that category. My Fire Stick is the same. It just gives me part of what I need. just as my Apple TV does. And if I went out and picked up a Chromecast, it was what, like $20 or something?
$35 today.
Okay, $35. Still. Then that would add to what I have, but still would not be a single point solution.
No. Yeah, I don't think it exists. Roku gets pretty close, to be honest. I don't think they're the closest. But that's it.
All right. Well, maybe one of these days I'll have to try Roku.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know I'm at an advantage in this game because I don't need to have Spectator Sports.
Right.
And I know that's a huge stumbling block for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a wall. And it, depending on the sport, it either works great or it doesn't work at all.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. All right, so I'm guessing this means you're probably not cutting your cable soon.
No, we could save a little bit of money with it, but it would be very difficult for us.
It wouldn't be worth the money you save.
Correct.
Brian, how about you?
Well, I'm sorry, what's the question?
Are you considering cutting your cable cord anytime soon?
No. No, there's way too many shows that I like having just on.
Yeah.
Sure. Yep, I totally get that.
That sort of always on content is, yeah, it's still something I do.
All right. Well, listeners, I'm curious. Have you been able to cut your cord, or do you think you'll be able to do so soon? Let me know. You can send me tweets. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And, of course, you can leave comments in the show notes. I'll be checking all those places to hear what you say, because I really do love to hear what you say. And also, every one of you that I met at MacStock over the weekend, that was absolutely fantastic. I loved getting to see all of you, and I can't wait till the next event where I get to see even more of you. So that was just awesome. And yeah, since we're out of time, I have to say that Eternal Storms, it's really cool that they are our sponsor today. Go check out Screen Float. You can do that at eternalstorms.at/screenfloat. It's only $8.99, so that's a pretty good deal for an incredibly useful utility. Dave, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This is fun. It's good to be back.
And it's good to have you back. Brian, thank you for being here.
Indeed, and it's good to have Dave back.
It is. And Brian, it was great to get to see you in person at MacStock. We don't get to spend enough real time together.
It's true.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.